Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. I see that there are no Bibles in front of you, but if you have brought a Bible, please open it to Mark chapter 4, where we'll read verses 35 to 41. You'll remember this story. That day, when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning, and that you would use it to strengthen our faith so that we might trust in you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Worry, anxiety, fear. I once lived in a trailer about 25 miles from Canyon City, Colorado, where there was a maximum security prison. And one day a dangerous convict escaped. I was worried. I found it hard to sleep knowing that this man was on the prowl. I probably wasn't as worried as some of those people closer to the prison. I could imagine those people double bolting their doors, hooking up an alarm system, leaving the lights on all night, going to bed with their clothes on and a loaded shotgun by their sides, lying in bed trembling, jumping at every sound. Worry, fear, anxiety. For many of us, worry is just a normal part of life. Even when we're not conscious of it, it seems to lurk in our subconsciousness, robbing us of peace, churning our stomachs, making us twitch, always ready to assert itself in panic and fear. We worry about suffering and dying. We worry about bad things happening to our children. We worry about rejection. We worry about getting old or getting sick, or we worry about not having enough money. We worry about losing a job or not being able to find a job. We worry about finding a place to live. We worry about failing something, being teased, scorned, laughed at. Worry, fear, anxiety. How can we defeat worry and live in peace? Our text this morning suggests that worry arises from a lack of faith. To have faith is to believe something is true. And faith, in turn, leads to trust. The more firmly I believe something to be true, the more my level of trust rises. And the more I trust, the more I will have peace and confidence and security. On the other hand, the weaker my faith is, the less trust I will have. And as my trust decreases, my worry rises and my sense of peace diminishes. Why does the citizen lie in bed worrying about the escaped convict? He worries because he doesn't have complete faith and hence trust. in the locks on his doors and in his security system and the police force and his shotgun. I have a lot of faith in some things. When I go to sit in a chair, I have unwavering faith or belief that the chair will hold me up. And hence, I completely trust the chair. And so I have no fear or anxiety about sitting in a chair or that the chair will collapse. There are some other things I have less faith in. I will admit that when I fly, which isn't very often, hurtling through the sky at 30,000 miles an hour in a fancy tin can, I have some anxiety. Why? Because I don't have complete faith in that thing. I have some doubt about whether this thing could keep me up there and keep me alive. And so I don't completely trust it. I feel the same way when I'm rising and descending dozens of floors in a high-speed elevator. Or riding in a car with someone I consider to be a bad driver. Then there are some things I have little faith in. Given my age and physical condition, I have very little faith in my ability to climb Mount Everest. Because of my lack of faith in my body, I don't trust it. And if I were to attempt the climb, I would have anxiety every step of the way. In our passage today, we find the disciples in a terrifying situation. They're out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a smallish boat. They're not out there in a big ship. It's a boat maybe 20 feet long. And a treacherous storm suddenly comes up with strong wind and rain and lightning and thunder. And waves are rising so high that they're splashing over into the boat and filling the boat up, nearly swamping it. And their reaction, fear and worry for their lives. The reason, lack of faith. And so they wake up Jesus, who's sleeping somehow through the storm. And they seem to scold him for his lack of concern. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus gets up and he says to the wind and to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind dies down and it becomes completely calm. And he says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It was because of their lack of faith that the disciples worried, terrified about perishing in that storm. And our passage shows us three things about Jesus that the disciples did not yet believe. They did not believe, number one, in who Jesus is. They did not believe, number two, in what Jesus can do. And number three, they didn't believe in Jesus' love for them. Number one, who Jesus is. Number two, what he can do. And number three, his love for them. Let's look at these. So the first reason why they were fearful and worried during the storm is that they didn't believe in who Jesus really is. Notice their reaction to Jesus. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? What is he? Where did he come from? The incident occurs at an early point in Jesus' ministry, and the disciples didn't fully comprehend who Jesus is. And in fact, they really don't fully comprehend who Jesus is until after his resurrection from the dead. At this point, they did not comprehend and hence did not believe that Jesus is the very Son of God. That he is the Word become flesh. That he is, as Thomas later exclaimed, their Lord and their God. That he is very God and very man. notice in the passage here that they don't address Jesus as Lord, but as teacher, rabbi. They believed he had authority as a teacher, but the Son of God. They didn't believe, though of course they later came to believe it. As one commentator writes, at the time of the storm, a friendly human Jesus they would have, but a supernatural Son of God, no. Had they believed who Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, they would have trusted him or been more likely to have trusted him and wouldn't have worried about perishing in the storm, or at least they would have been less worried. Knowing and believing who Jesus really is leads us to the trust we need to overcome worry and fear. Francis Schaeffer tells an interesting story about faith and trust in his book, He Is There and He Is Not Silent. I just want to read a little bit of this passage. He says, suppose we're climbing in the Alps and are very high on the bare rock, and suddenly the fog shuts down. And the guide turns to us and says that the ice is forming and that there's no hope. Before morning, we will all freeze to death here on the shoulder of the mountain. So simply to keep warm, the guide keeps us moving in the dense fog further out on the shoulder until none of us have any idea where we are. After an hour or so, someone says to the guide, suppose I dropped, and hit a ledge 10 feet down in the fog. What would happen then? The guide said that, well, you might make it till morning and thus live. So with absolutely no knowledge or any reason to support his action, one of the group hangs and drops. That would be one kind of faith, he says, a leap of faith. Suppose, however, after we have worked out on the shoulder in the midst of the fog and the growing ice on the rock, we had stopped and we heard a voice which said, you cannot see me, but I know exactly where you are from your voices. I'm on the other ridge. I've lived in these mountains, man and boy, for over 60 years, and I know every foot of them. I assure you that 10 feet below you there is a ledge. If you hang and drop, you can make it through the night, and I will get you in the morning. Well, I would not hang and drop at once, but would ask questions to try to ascertain if the man knew what he was talking about and if he was not my enemy. In the Alps, for example, I would ask him his name. If the name he gave me was a name of a family from that part of the mountains, it would count a great deal to me. In the Swiss Alps, there are certain family names that indicate mountain families of that area. For example, in the area of the Alps where I live, Aventhy would be such a name. In my desperate situation, even though time would be running out, I would ask him what to me would be the sufficient questions, and when I became convinced of his answers, then I would hang and drop. Once the mountain climber came to believe or comes to believe in who the person is who's calling to him, his trust would grow and he would be able to drop himself. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God will give us the trust we need to overcome fear and worry. If he's the Son of God, then he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and the universe is in his control. If he is the Son of God, then he's able to hold us in his hands, even when he's asleep in the back of a boat. Even if we were to perish in the storm, we wouldn't need to worry, for he's still with us. For he holds us in his hands even then. We can live in peace and assurance in the face of death and old age and sickness and cancer and whatever when we believe and trust in Jesus, the Son of God. The second reason the disciples worried during the storm is that they didn't believe in what Jesus can do. They certainly didn't believe that he had the power of God himself. Notice what they say after he calms the sea, calms the storm. He says, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, before this event, the disciples had already witnessed some of the miracles of Jesus. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cast out demons. But this power over the weather, power over nature, power to make waves still and the winds quiet, and he made it look so easy. It was like nothing for him. This they had not seen before. This was mind-blowing power. The display of power itself was terrifying, maybe even more than the storm was. When they were out there in that boat, they didn't believe Jesus had power like this. And hence they had no trust and were terrified. I'm sure I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again about my experience with a compass. One of the first times my dad let me go hunting by myself, I got lost in the woods. And it was one of those cloudy days when you don't know where the sun is, so you have no perspective, and it's easy to get lost. I had heard that there were people who got lost in the woods, and they think they're walking in the same direction when in fact they're walking in a big circle. Found that to be kind of funny. Well, I was lost and frightened. I worried. But I had a compass, and I tried to use it, but the compass was broken. It just seemed to keep pointing in a direction that I knew could not have been north. In fact, it seemed to be pointing south. So I tried to get out of the woods without the compass. And sure enough, after walking like what seemed about an hour, plenty of time to get out of the woods by then, walking for about an hour, I walked right up to the tree I had started from. And I had walked in a very large circle. Now what do I do? I decided I had no choice left but to believe in my compass. And it wasn't easy. It seemed to go against my gut instinct. But I did. And I was out of the woods in 10 minutes. I didn't need to worry at all. The compass had the power to lead me out of the woods. I just didn't believe in its power. And therefore, I couldn't trust it. And it was like that for the disciples, only on a grander scale. They feared because they didn't believe in what Jesus can do. And sometimes we're the same way. We worry because we don't believe in what Jesus can do. We don't believe he has the power to keep us safe. We don't believe he has the power to take care of us. But does he? Does he have the power? Does Jesus have the power to see us through failure and sickness and poverty and whatever our worries might be? The more we believe in the power of Jesus, the more we will trust him and the more peace we will have. Now, the third, and I think maybe it's the primary reason the disciples worried and feared in the storm, was because they didn't believe in Jesus' love for them. When they wake him up, they say, "Teacher, does it not concern you that we are perishing? Teacher, don't you care about us? Don't you love us?" Maybe, even if they had believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and even if they had believed that he had the power over nature, they still might have worried because they didn't believe He cared for them. If you go to a surgeon for an operation, you have to believe in her qualifications. She graduated from a good medical school, and she was trained under respected surgeons, and she'd performed this surgery before many times successfully. But if you were going to go to that operating table with less fear and worry, you would also need to believe that she cared about you, that she has some real interest in your health, that she really means well. You don't want to find yourself strapped to that table, and just as they begin to put that mask over you, you see the surgeon let out a wild scream and laugh uncontrollably, waving knives in your face. You need to believe the surgeon cares for you. Think how much better even it would be if your mother or your father or your child is the surgeon. She loves you greatly. She will do everything in her power to take care of you. And she assures you, you will be fine. You can believe her. You can trust her. You can lie down on that table in peace and assurance. To overcome fear and worry and anxiety, we have to believe Jesus cares for us. We have to believe he really does love us. Does he? Does Jesus really care about you personally? Do you really believe that he cares for you? I don't know how much we really believe in his love for us, but we can be assured of it. We can be assured of the fact that he cares for us because of what he's already done for us. He went to the cross for the simple reason that he loves us. If God, through Christ, has already gone the full measure in displaying his love for us, then we can rest in his care in every situation. There's no need to worry. As Peter wrote, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Rejection, growing old, becoming sick, losing a job, finding a place to live, failure. There are so many things to worry about. So many things keep us from peace and assurance. Would you like to live the rest of your life in perfect peace? Without worry, without fear, without anxiety, in perfect confidence in God's care? Or would you like to move further in that direction? One thing many of us are anxious about today is the future of our country. Whatever side you're on, there is anxiety. Each one thinks that if the other side wins, the country will face calamity. Does it have to be this way? Do we have to be anxious about this election? Can we have peace about it, regardless of who wins? What about the greatest fear of all? The fear of death and separation from God. The fear of death is primal. It's at our core. Why were the disciples afraid of the storm? Because they thought they were going to perish. They thought it would kill them. And they, like everyone, feared death. Most, or maybe many, of our worries are rooted in the fear of death. Worries of separation from loved ones, of becoming sick and growing old. Is there any reason to worry about dying? Not for us. Christians need not worry about death or anything else because of who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Savior. Christians need not worry about death or anything else because of what Jesus can do and has done. He has the power to purchase our redemption and has already done so. He has the power to rescue us from death, and that power has already been displayed by the greatest miracle of all. Jesus rose from the dead. Even in death, he has the power to keep us and to hold us and to preserve us and then to restore us to the fullness of life again. He has the power to take care of us no matter who wins the election. For Jesus, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. The Christian need not worry about the next election because this earth is not our home anyway. We are citizens of another and much better place. The Christian need not worry about death or anything else because Jesus loves us. He cares for us. And he displayed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. There is nothing in heaven or on earth, including your own sinfulness, that can separate us from his love. Faith in who Jesus is, and faith in what he can do, and faith in what in that he cares for us leads us to trust in him, and trust leads to peace. But what if my faith is weak? What if I seem to be losing my faith? As C.S. Lewis points out, faith is a virtue, and that means we can do things to increase it. In Mere Christianity, he writes, faith is the art of holding on to things that your reason once accepted, in spite of your changing moods. For moods will change whatever your reason, whatever view your reason takes. I know that by experience. Now that I'm a Christian, I do have moods in which the whole thing looks very improbable. But when I was an atheist, I had moods in which Christianity looked terribly probable. The rebellion of your moods against your real self is going to come anyway. That is why faith is such a necessary virtue. Unless you teach your moods where they get off, you can never be either a sound Christian or even a sound atheist, but just a creature dithering to and fro with its beliefs really dependent on the weather or the state of its digestion. Faith can be sustained and increased despite our moods or feelings. Live as if you have faith, even when you may not feel like you have it. Memorize and meditate on his promises. Bring his words continually before your mind. I've said this before here. Speak the gospel to yourself. Preach it to yourself. Pray for his spirit to increase your faith. Read books that can help your faith increase. Talk to other believers about your faith struggles. Listen attentively to sermons here and in other churches. Be in fellowship with other Christians. Are you worried today? Afraid of something? If so, put yourself by faith into the arms of Jesus, for he is the Son of God. And he has the power to keep and save you through anything that happens, even death. And he loves you. And he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that the words of this passage and what it means would sink deeply into our hearts. Many of us here, Lord, worry. Many of us have anxiety and fear, and we lack faith. And so we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would increase our faith. Our faith in who you are, our faith in your power and all that you can do, and our faith in your love for us. And may that faith so increase our trust that we can live in peace, live in assurance, live in calmness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.